Check, check. Good morning, everybody. Why don't we stand as we get ready to get into worship? This morning at pre-service prayer, I was praying to the Lord about service, about us, about what God has for us, and I kept saying this phrase over that was stirring in my mind, like, Lord, I feel like you have a word for us today. And so this morning, I feel like the Lord has a word for us, each and every one of us individually. And I'm not going to tell you that word. I feel like the word is significant and unique and authentic to each one of us. And so as we worship today, as we worship this morning, I want us to just have our eyes set on heaven, our minds set on heaven. And I just know and believe that God wants to speak to us today. Amen. He's excited to be here. He's excited to be with us. Are you guys excited that Jesus is alive? Are you guys excited that Jesus is here, this place? Our son Tegan, we have this big window. For those of you who've been to our house, you know that the window out front in our living room, and he'll hear a car come up, and he'll run to it, and he'll just, like, be peeking out. And it's the funniest thing, because you'll walk up, and you'll just see him poke over the thing, and he's looking at you, and he's smiling at you, and then you come through the door, and he's like, hi. Like, it's really, really cute. But other than Nancy, the one person he is the most excited to see is Caden. And so, like, yesterday, Caden, we weren't together all day, because Caden was hiking with his Boy Scouts, and we were out of town. So we hadn't seen each other all day. Like, all from when Tegan woke up, Caden wasn't there. And when we got home, Caden came home and Tegan, like, almost leapt out of Nancy's arms because he was so excited. Like, that is just a measure of excitement that I feel like the Lord, like, has for us. He's so excited that we're here. He's so excited that we chose to come here and that this is not just another Sunday. It's not just July 10th. It's not just another day. But this is actually the day that the Lord has made. Amen. So I'm believing that God has something unique and special for us today as we worship, that he has a word for us. And I just want us to begin praying this morning and believing that the Lord is going to speak to us today. If you have been seeking out the Lord for a word, today's your day. If you've been seeking out a touch from heaven, today's your day. So Jesus, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you're alive. I thank you that when we gather, Lord, you are there in our midst, God. That, Lord, that your word says, God, where two or three gather. And there's more than two or three in this room today. And so we just thank you, Father, that you are here in this place, that you are here to meet with your children. God, we worship you. God, I just pray right now a blessing, Lord, over every person here, over every person who's at home, over every person that's watching online. God, every person driving by our church this morning, I just pray that they would just get sprinkled with heaven as they drive by. God, I thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every day. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to bring in last week into this week, that we get to start afresh today, anew today. So, Lord, we worship you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're good, that you are so good, that you're excited to see us, that you're like that, our little Tegan, who's just so excited that we came, so excited that we showed up, not ready to remind us of the bad person that we are, but you're just excited that we're here. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Of thankfulness. We thank have a guitar downstairs. Caden, in the closet, the youth closet. Go get my guitar. Pause. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So this is how the chorus goes, the pre-chorus goes. It goes, you're falling now. You want to put it up there, Nate? It goes, you're falling now like heaven's rain enthroned upon your children's praise. Can we just say that together? You're falling now like heaven's rain enthroned upon your children's praise. You're tearing down our barricades as we sing. Go to the chorus. Yeah. Yeah, we welcome the healer in this place. We thank you, Father. We welcome you, Father. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that we could worship you, Lord, with a guitar, without a guitar. We thank you, Lord, for extra guitars.
So I just want to let you guys know that anytime that there's like things that continue to go weird, we need to really like open our hearts and really start getting ourselves ready to expect God to do something, because normally, you know, we have normal Sundays and every now and then we might have a hiccup, but today we've had like two major things go. And so I'm thinking God wants to really do something in someone's life. Maybe it's someone online. Maybe it's one of us here. Maybe it's all of us. So we just need to not let these things distract us. Keep our hearts and our minds focused on him. And then just, you know, see what he wants to do. Because I believe that he wants to, as Eric said, he wants to focus on us and bless us.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is excited about us. He's in love with us. I was thinking and saying to the group, he thinks about us more than we think about ourselves.
Amen.
That's hard for us to believe. But when we're asleep and we don't think about ourselves, he's thinking about us. It says in the word, he's singing over us. So let's sing back to him and remember that he's in love with us.
Jesus, have your Sure. try so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. And you take the broken thing and raise them to glory. And you are my champion. The giants fall. Say yeah.
Everybody put your hand on your heart. I believe Jesus wants to speak to hearts today. Yeah. He wants to speak over his children today. He wants to say, I am your champion, and giants fall when I stand undefeated. Every battle I've won, and you are who I say I am. I crown you with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Jesus, I just thank you that we get to sit with you, Lord, that we're heirs to the throne. I thank you, God, that there is nothing that is bigger and greater than you. Anything in our life, whether it be sin, whether it be a thought pattern, whether it be bad habits, our language, addictions, how we speak to ourselves and about ourselves, how we speak to our families, Lord, anything, God, you can heal and you can restore. And I just thank you, Jesus, that you are so much greater. You are so much greater than our worst day. And so, Father, right now, I just release, Lord, I release, Lord, blessing over this house, a blessing over every son and daughter in this place. And I thank you, Lord, that we declare today that you are our champion, that you are our champion, that even when we mess up, you pick us up and say, okay, let's do better, let's try again. You're not there to remind us of our past because we don't live there anymore. You're there to remind us of our destiny, the destiny that you set forth for us. So right now, I just declare over everybody in this room, young and old, I just declare right now that God is not done with you. He is not finished with you. For some of you, he's just started. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you care about our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you care about our well-being more than anybody on this planet. We just bless your holy, holy name. We bless your holy, holy name, Jesus. Church, can you just say that with me? Say, Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is no greater name than Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, again, I just feel he wants to minister to hearts right now. If your heart is heavy right now, just know that Jesus sees it. He knows it. He knows exactly what you need. Just let him minister to your heart right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise your name today, Jesus. We bless what you're doing. We bless what you've done and how you're going to continue moving today. And we just thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Will you guys greet one another, hug a neck or two, get some coffee?
Okay. Guess what time it is? Hey, you guys are getting it. Amen. Declaration time. And why are we declaring? We're declaring so that Yakima can be transformed, so that God can have people here agreeing with what he wants to already do in these hearts. Amen? All right, well, if you'll stand with me one more time. On three, we're going to start. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. That last part's always kind of tricky, isn't it? For whatever reason. Father, we thank you for Yakima. We thank you, Lord, that this is our home. Lord, this Yakima Valley is where you've put us at this time in our lives. And Lord, I ask that you would help us, Lord, as your people to steward Yakima well. Lord, that we would treat others, Lord, in this place with love and respect and honor and care. Lord, that they would experience the love of God, Lord, from the body of Christ. Lord, that we would help bring change. Lord, that we would be lights, Lord, in a dark place. Lord, that we would be caregivers, Lord, where people, where there's needs and people who have hurts, Lord, that we would be healers. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that your people who are called by your name, Lord, would start to humble themselves and pray and seek your face, Lord, and turn from any wicked ways that they may have. And that we, Lord, would receive the healing in Yakima, Lord, that you want to do. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that every need in this city, Lord, would be met by the power and the wisdom and the glory of God. And we just thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing now. Amen? Amen. All right, we have a reminder. We start at 10:30. I think a lot of most people are getting that now. Amen. We start at 10:30, and that's what we're going to do forever now, from now on. So, next one. Men's barbecue. It's going to be this coming Friday at 6:30. Doesn't have the time on there, but I'll be texting all the men. And it's at 412 South 46th Avenue, right? Which is Alex's house. Awesome. Alex is going to be the host home. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we're not there for the house. We're there for you, brother, and spend time together. So it's all good. Thank you, though. All right. And this coming July 30th, the very last Saturday of the month, we're going to have our backyard worship night at Zeke and Tara's from 6 to 8. So I encourage you all to make that. We have a great time, just a time of worship and prayer and just seeking the Lord's face. It's really good, so... Praise God. And thank you for your giving. You can give up front, in the back, online, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. We did the declaration, yeah. We're like, how'd that happen, right? All right, okay. Forget we don't have that back one working. We had some technical difficulties this morning. More than one, right, Eric? We had our monitor system, which runs two other monitors, just all of a sudden go out. We were trying to copy over a file, and it went blip. And then Eric's guitar went, and so I still really believe that the Lord wants to do something amazing in people's hearts and lives today. Hang on a second here. I use that back screen a lot, so I need to get this set up here. All right, so last week we talked about the blueprint for life, right? We're going to continue with that today, and we're going to really focus on the what our blueprint is really the will of God. And so going over, are you good to read? Or okay, going over just a few verses that we had last week, because they're really key verses. 1 Chronicles 28:18-19.
He designated the amount of refined gold for the altar of incense. Finally, he gave him a plan for the Lord's chariot, the gold cherubim, whose wings were stretched out over the ark of the Lord's covenant. Every part of this plan, David told Solomon, was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord.
Amen. So what we're really trying to focus on here with this scripture is that the Lord is willing and able, and if we're listening, to give us everything that we need for life. He can give us the plan. He can show us his will. He can reveal it to us. Hopefully today we'll show you some of the key things that are in his will for us as his people. That's good. Ephesians 5:15-17.
Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
And of course, this is Paul admonishing this church to not be foolish, not just, you know, just live life haphazardly, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, make it a focus, make it a priority, make it something that you consider when you're, we talked about last week how not to just go through a routine, but to make sure that thinking of how you're walking in God and purposing your steps are part of your normal Christian walk, your normal life. Amen? And then Romans 12:2.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
And we stressed last week how important it is to renew our mind. If we let our mind stay the way it is, then we will not be able to be transformed.
Right.
We won't be able to change, because how many know that we've talked about before? Weeds grow without any care, any focus. I mean, they just thrive. And I think it's a great illustration of the way that bad habits, bad patterns in our lives, things that we really don't want, but they come in because we're not feeding the spiritual man, feeding who we are meant to be. And that is children of God, sons and daughters of God. All right, let's go ahead and look at our few verses for today. First one is Mark 3:31-35. You're going to say, Pastor, what's this have to do with anything? Hopefully I'll be able to explain that.
Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother.
So I thought this is such a powerful statement. I've always used this statement to help people understand that, you know, that As Mary is a blessed woman, and she is the mother of our Lord, and that is something very, very special. She's not deity. She's not to replace Jesus. And I think this is a great scripture that lets us know that at the cross, everything's even.
Yeah.
You know, even his mother was identified with just the ones sitting around who were hungry for him. And I really want to focus on this for a minute. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. I think doing the will of God is a prerequisite to relationship. I think, like Jesus said it this way, if you love me, what, you're going to keep my
commandments.
That relationship doesn't just happen without effort. Relationship just doesn't happen without devotion, that it requires both. You must let the Lord know that you're thankful and grateful for everything he's done for you by living a life that shows that you're separated from the world.
Right.
Now, maybe you may struggle with that, and God will help you. You're not going to be perfect the next day that you get saved.
And you're not going to be perfect 40 years or so after you've been saved. But if we have a heart that says, Lord, I want to do your will, it is a prerequisite for relationship, I believe. I just don't think you can say that you're, you know, I mean, and I'm using John's crazy statement. He says, how can you say that you love God, but you dislike or hate your brother? You know, because we know that just even being angry with your brother is like hating them, like killing them. So, I mean, murder. So, you know, we have this prerequisite of saying, yeah, I love God and I'm in relationship with him, yet we don't let our hearts be changed and transformed. It's really a key. You know, that's why I really believe that that unforgiveness for a Christian is a relationship breaker. Not just with the person that you're in relationship with, but with God. It makes it hard to have a good relationship with him. Now, someone say, well, what do you mean? Well, if you're not able to have a relationship with someone you see and you can't love them, how can you love God who you can't see? That's, again, from the book of John, 1 John.
And don't you think that it also puts a damper on your relationship even with other people? I mean, if you have a bad relationship with someone,
it can spill over.
It can totally spill over into other relationships. So yep. We have to be very careful that we understand the power of unforgiveness and the power of forgiveness. Because the power of unforgiveness what is that scripture about the dog that you feed?
Oh, it's not a scripture. It's a story that I told for years.
It's like a scripture,
right? You know, yeah. Basically, it's whatever dog you feed is going to win the battle. Is the strongest, exactly.
So if you feed unforgiveness.
What's that? It's a book of Mike. Here we go.
That's a good one, babe. But I'm just saying, whatever you feed is going to be the strongest. If you feed unforgiveness, it can be stronger in your life than forgiveness.
Yeah.
And we have to be very careful that we understand that power that unforgiveness has over us if we're not careful.
And unforgiveness is not in the will of God. So when you're in unforgiveness, you're out of the will of God. Now, some people say, well, how can I forgive somebody that's done horrific things to me? Well, you're not giving them just a pardon for everything that they've done. In other words, they're guiltless. That's not what we're saying. Forgiveness is saying, I release the pain that you've put on me to God. I put it in his care. I put it in his hands. I don't hold on to this pain. I don't hold on to this hurt. I don't hold on to this offense any longer. I choose to give it to God. And now I can see you without my heart being like, or your stomach going like a knot. I can, you know, if someone says your name, I'm not going to, you know, like say, don't ever say their name, you know what I'm saying?
In my presence.
Yeah. However, you know, that gets manifested in people's lives when there's unforgiveness. Because sometimes people don't even want to hear the person's name. I don't want to hear their name. Because just the name brings up that pain again. No, you choose, I'm going to give it to you, and now I'm releasing them into your hands, Lord. You're really thinking.
Yeah, I really am thinking because I'm going to play a role that I've played before in that, okay, I've forgiven, but they habitually hurt me. They habitually cause me pain. So what then?
So someone's after you forgave them the first time, now they're hurting you again.
Yes.
Okay, each time, each offense, you forgive them. Just like Jesus blew Peter's mind away and said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother who offends me? How about seven? In a day, seven in a day. He goes, oh, well, Peter, that's pretty good. Not close. How about 70 times seven? 490 in the same day. So Jesus put this bar so high that nobody probably is going to have that kind of interaction with anybody. And then Jesus gave this parable. Guys, this parable is scary because it's a parable of a debtor to a landowner or a king, a lord, and he owed him millions of dollars. And he went to the king and said, you know, because the king was going to You're gonna go in debtor's prison because you're not paying it. You haven't paid for a long time. You're not paying it. Obviously, you're not going to pay me back. And he, you know, basically fell at his feet. Forgive me. You know, I'll get the money. Don't put me in prison. Just give me more time. And basically, the king lets him go. You can go free. So this servant, slave, whatever. You know, whatever he was, is out and he's talking, you know, to other people and probably saying, the king forgave all my debt. I'm so free, you know, and it feels great, you know. Then he sees this guy walking by. That guy owes me $500. He goes and grabs him by the neck. You owe me $500. You know, he's thinking he doesn't owe the king any more money, so it's probably good money. And he starts shaking him. I don't have it. He says, you don't have it? Well, you've owed it for me for a long time. And he doesn't end up, you know, having the same kind of compassion. He throws him in debtor's prison. And the guys that he was talking to, I thought you just said the king forgave you. They went and told the king, or the landlord, or whatever he was, that, hey, this guy that you forgave, he just threw somebody that owed him hardly anything into prison. And he says, you wicked servant, listen, I forgave you millions of dollars, and you could not forgive $500? You're going into prison, your family, until you pay it off. Like, obviously, we know when you're in prison, it's hard to pay bills. Unless you got some kind of, you know, remote control business system going on, you're probably going to be in there forever, you and your family. Now, you know what Jesus said after that? He had the audacity to say, he says, listen, if you, getting back on forgiveness, if you who have been forgiven much, you've been forgiven a ton, if you can't forgive your brothers and sisters, you're just like the one who did not forgive the one who owed him $500. He put him in that category. And so I always think that what happens is, you're saying God tortures us? No, we torture ourselves. We give the enemy license to mess with us because we're not in God's perfect will. So how do we deal with that? You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, help me. Teach me. Now, I could tell you what I've done, and it may work for you, it may not. But ask the Lord to teach you how to forgive this person. He may tell you to write down all the offenses. Here's one. Write down all the offenses they ever did to you. Wad them up and burn them in a fire. And say, Lord, as I throw this in the fire,
I believe
those are being burnt from my heart. You've done an act of faith. Lord, I just release these things into your hands. Let them go. Maybe you need to go to the person because you haven't had interaction with them, and you need to just face them and say, I've been holding unforgiveness, and I just release you right now, and I forgive you. I haven't hurt you. It's like, I'm just telling you, this is on me. It's not you. I forgive you. That's something you could do. Now, here's something very radical that you can do. It's something that I do, and it's always been just my way, is that it says that I can come boldly before the throne of grace and find help and mercy in time of need. So in my heart, I bring the person to the throne of grace with me. I say, Lord, help me to let me see this person like you do. And help me, Lord, to see the glory that you see in this person that doesn't show up right now. And help me, Lord, to walk a life, Lord, that blesses them. And I'll ask them, I'll say, ask the Lord, bless them, Lord, bless them. That's hard. It's not easy. You know, it's much easier seemingly to just ignore and put things under the rug and, you know, and not allow the Holy Spirit to touch your heart. I have to give a testimony of, I can't name any names, but someone I spoke to yesterday, and they had been dealing with an issue with an individual for years. And I had told them, I said, you need to make that relationship right because it's affecting all your relationships. And they knew it. And they said, oh, it's so hard. I can't do it. So I kept encouraging them. And then I hadn't said anything for a long time. Well, they told me yesterday that the Holy Spirit has started dealing with them even deeper. And they had met with them. And they had experienced a release. It wasn't like, you know, they're best friends. You know, that wasn't the goal. The goal was to let them be able to pass freely through their hearts without beating them up as they go through. This is a key to the will of God. I don't know where the Holy Spirit was taking us today, but this is a key. that we realize that we are family. We are brothers and sisters. Even if someone's not saved yet, there's still someone that we need to care for and nurture a relationship with and be kind, which we'll get into some of those other things. So, oh, you have something? Yeah.
Jump from that. I think it's important to continue to have this conversation because the church, for a long time, we talk about unforgiveness and we talk about forgiveness and how we're supposed to. We know that as believers, right? That's like the
okay.
You're supposed to forgive, right? We know that. I think what's got confused is we put forgiveness and trust in the same category and we interchange them, right? If somebody keeps hurting me, it's like, well, I'm not going to give them the opportunity to hurt me anymore. So I'm not going to give them the power to offend me anymore. So if you hurt me, let's extreme example. If I walk down an alley with Zeke and Zeke beats me up in that alley,
oh,
right? And he can, right? And I can forgive Zeke. Now, will I be walking down any alleys with Zeke anymore? Probably not. Do you see the difference?
That's good. Yeah.
So I think it gets. We tried to, for a long time, interchange these things where it's like, okay, well, you forgave them. Why wouldn't you walk down the alley with them? It's like, well, because trust is earned, right? Forgiveness is not so much. That's a mandate on our lives to forgive. I'm to forgive Zeke. But that doesn't mean that I then have to give him all of my trust again. And so how do we keep from getting hurt? Well, we got to step out of that space of allowing them to continue to hurt us. And I know that is not a broad statement because I don't know everybody's situation. For me, I pray for people that if I have an offense or somebody, I start, and it's hard. I'm not saying this as like, I'm so holy, I get before the throne, and I, like Pastor Mike, I bring them. No. I begrudgingly like, okay,
drag them.
Here's their name. Bless them, right? But what happens is I may start like that, but eventually what begins to happen is my heart softens, and I begin lifting them up. God, I pray for their marriage. I pray for their kids. I pray for their finances. I pray that they're successful in everything they do. And I just begin blessing them because at the end of the day, they're not just that person. They are a son or daughter of God. That's the ultimate title that they have. Regardless of who they are, what they've done to me, they are a son and a daughter.
So. Yeah. And besides that, we're actually not even, that person isn't actually the one that should have, that we see causing the offense, because it says we don't war against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Which is hard for us to understand because it sure looks like the flesh and blood we're dealing with, but it's spiritual wickedness that's behind them. So that individual's being like used like a pawn.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. That's really good. So a lot of people through the years have asked me this question. What is the will of God for my life? And see, that's my answer. I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's my emoji.
Katie loves that one.
But the point is like, I can't tell you what God's full, complete will is for you. I mean, I don't think God would tell you the full story right now himself. But there are keys that we have in the Word of how we're to live a life. And, you know, I really believe that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when we're in the will of God, there's more good working in us than bad. There's more of his kingdom working in us than the kingdom of darkness. And he has opportunity to lead us and guide us and direct us into the way he wants us to walk. I mean, I did not get a 4,052-page document that told me every step I needed to make along the way in my life. Sometimes all I was given was just one instruction, and it was a major life change. But God brought them when I needed them. But I was also seeking his kingdom and his righteousness at the time. You have something? Oh, okay. Just changing positions. So what? Let's look at a scripture that I found this in the Message, and I love this. I'll kind of give you the phraseology from the New King James or some other regular standard version, but I love the way that this says it because this really boils down the will of God for his people in the Old Testament.
Micah 6:8. But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously.
Right. You know, what should you do, old man, is what it says in Micah 6:8 in most translations. But to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So walking humbly with your God is to not to make yourself the star, the one that everything evolves around. Make him the star. And as biblical believers in the New Testament, we prefer others greater than ourselves. But to be fair and just to your neighbor, be kind. You know, one of the greatest sins that Israel did was not caring, and it's hard to believe, was not caring for those who were in need, especially the foreigners. God really got on him about that. He said, listen, you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. You know what it's like to be, you know, in another country that's not your home. Treat those people nicely and kindly. All right, let's look at another verse. Now, we're going to start looking at actually some verses that talk about what the will of God is. Now, obviously, these are somewhat of a broad brush, but the idea is I believe that when we see something in the Word, it's not there by accident.
It's what?
Not there by accident. It's not there just because it was a phraseology that, you know, the author just, you know, kind of wanted to use. I believe that it was Holy Spirit inspired. So when I see something, this is the will of God for you. It tells me that this is what I can hold on to as part of the will of God for my life. Amen? All right, 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5.
For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God.
That's a big one, isn't it? For this is the will of God for you, I believe. You can hear me say that for you. It's not just for the church of Thessalonians, yeah. It's Thessalonians. I can't say it right now. Anyway, this is the will of God for you. Your sanctification. What is sanctification? It's like holiness. It's like separation from what the world does. It's not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. He could have put that in there just as much, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. See, sexual immorality is what's prevalent in the world right now. I mean, it's rampant. It is the norm. It is the standard. It is like what people do with their lives. And yet, for us as believers, it's not the will of God for us. The will of God is for relationships that are God-ordained, that he has, what God has put together, let no man separate, right? Man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I mean, those are very specific details that God gives at the very beginning of the book of Genesis. And so that is God's plan. That is God's design for sexuality. That's it. And then it says that each of you should know how. What's that mean? Have a knowledge of how do I possess my own vessel? How do I keep it sanctified and in honor? You know, again, we could all go around the room and say, this is what works for me. No, you need to know what Holy Spirit tells you, how you possess your vessel in honor. You know, and this is just an example that I will give as a man. I have made it a purpose to not go out and have lunch with a woman by myself. I think I'd done one time with my daughter, and we were at Mod Pizza. But that's my daughter. That's a little different. But other than that, I've just made it a purpose not to do that. Why? To avoid the appearance of evil and to give the enemy no room for any foothold. You're saying, well, Pastor, that's pretty extreme. Yeah, it's extreme, but it's one of the ways that I know how to possess my vessel in sanctification and honor. Not everybody has to do that. I know others that have met, that's fine. But for me, that's what I have chosen to do. That's what I felt was on my heart to do. Not in passion or lust, like the Gentiles do, who do not know God. That's the key. We know God. These should not be our first first way that we run as people of God. We should be seeking his kingdom. We should be seeking his presence. We should be seeking his truth, seeking all of the things that have to do with receiving from him instead of, out in the highways and byways. Now, sometimes we get out there. We do. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we stumble. But we should not be living out there. That should not be our habitation. We shouldn't be living in the highways and the byways. If we're out in the highways and byways, it should be to draw others in. Not to go out and just hang out with them and act like them.
Right.
You know, when I was praying for Yakima, it's really a key that Yakima see believers, like Alan Higgins, you say, I like believing believers, Mike. He wants believing believers. In other words, believers who believe. What a concept. I always thought it was like, Alan, that is just so silly. But now I really know what he means. Of course, he was in his 70s when he told me that. You know, we have so many people who say they're believers, but do they live like they believe? Have any of you ever heard of Jordan Peterson? Jordan Peterson is a very intellectual man. He's read the Bible, and you know what? The guy can really quote the Bible. I don't know how many times he's read it, but he can quote verses. He's got principles down. But one person said, "Do you believe in God?" And I was listening to him. He was on a YouTube video. I was listening, and all of us would say, "Oh yeah, we believe in God." He says, well, how can you say that? I don't see hardly anyone who lives like they believe in God. I've read what that says. Do you see what I'm saying? He is someone who's, seeking truth, is going like, I don't see many people who truly live like what I've read. Because if you really believe that you believe in God, then you would be kind to people. You would love people. You wouldn't say bad things about people. In other words, there should be some fruit with that statement. Yeah, it is good, isn't it? I almost sent it to you because I thought, I think Eric would like this. Okay, you know what I'm saying.
Thessalonians 5, verse 18
there we go.
Says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
I love this one. I love this one because it is telling us that there is a way of being in God's total will by just giving him thanks. It does something. It's kind of like Eric when he drags that person who's offended him or whole group of people, whatever it is. It's like you're opening the door for something to happen. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. It's like thanksgiving is a prerequisite for God's presence, I believe. I think it's a prerequisite for God's audience. I think it's a prerequisite for captivating his attention. I mean, I think if we started Sundays here with just thanksgiving and it came from a purity, who knows what the Lord would do? Because it's a door opener. It's a gate opener. It's a portal opener. Puerta. Spanish, puerta. I like using it when I can. Not bad, right, Zeke? Puerta. There we go. And I have an accent. Lorena says, you've got an accent, Pastor. Oh, this is New King James. It was going to be on every single one. It's where I pulled the scriptures from, and I just said, okay, I'm going to leave them. There's nothing wrong with the New King James. But there probably are other verses, other translations out there for all of these that would give some more insight. Thanks for asking, Zeke. But yeah, so enter his gates with thanksgiving. In everything, be thankful. In everything. See, that's the thing. It's hard sometimes to be thankful in bad situations because there just doesn't look like there's anything to be thankful for in it. There just doesn't look like there's a reason to be thankful because it's bad. But I'm telling you, when you thank him for the bad, good follows. Because you've now sown into the bad seeds of good with your thankfulness. And he will transform what was meant for evil against you to be good. He'll transform it. So, it doesn't just haphazardly happen. And I think we expedite the process. You know, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But when we thank him in the middle of it, I think we're expediting his work. Oh, man, you're setting my hands. Yeah, let's get these things out of here. I can't tell you how many times I read there's a king in Israel and he's made a mistake. And God's like, I'm ready to send the troops and they're going to mess you up. And him and the priests and the people go to the temple and they're, Lord, forgive us. We messed up. It's like, okay, I'm not going to do it. I'll take care of them for you. Because they're now focusing on him. You have something? I see it.
I remember years ago I was counseling a lady that was having marital issues. And one of the things that I told her to do, actually I tell everybody that's having marital problems to do this, find one thing. Just one thing that you love about your spouse. Just one. And every day, verbally speak that one thing out until you find the second thing. And then speak that out. And she looked at me and honestly said, there's nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing that I love about him. And this is what I said to her, honest. I said, well, then thank the Lord that you have a voice that you can speak, and when you do find something that you love about them, you're going to be able to speak it out, because there's power of life in our tongue and there's power of death in our tongue. And so I said, thank the Lord that you have a voice that when you do find something that you love about them, you're going to be able to say it. And that's how she started. Thank you, Lord, that I have a voice that I can speak out loud and say something nice and that I love about my spouse. And when I see it, when I find it, I promise that I will say it. And so she said, but how's that going to look to him? Like, if I'm supposed to speak it over his life, I said, just say to him, I'm thankful that I have a voice. And when I see something that I love about you, I will tell you about it. I promise. And I will thank you for it. But I'm going to tell you guys, there's power in your tongue so big. And it says, in everything, give thanks. Give it. Give it to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord that you have a voice. Give thanks to the Lord that you're even married. Give thanks to the Lord that, I don't know, this is for you, not for me. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to be sometimes creative with how we're going to speak life, but the Lord is going to honor us when we do. So speak life. I love Amen. That's my favorite
scripture. Amen. And I like this part, in Christ Jesus for you. So it's not in Christ Jesus for God, it's for us. Mm-hmm. God's even thinking about us when he tells us to give thanks, because he knows it's what we need. Not just that he wants, oh yes, lavish praise on me. No, it's a doorway, opener for us. All right, let's look at another one here. 1 Peter 2:13-15.
Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
I'm telling you, they lived during the time of Rome. And Rome, I mean, they were tyrants. They're the ones who crucified Christ. They you know, not every government was good back then. And so, but he's saying, submit yourselves to every ordinance for man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. That's why some of the churches who really believed this, they, according to their hearts, they closed their churches when they said to be closed. They didn't change anything, because this, they believed that this was 100%. Now, I believe also that we have to obey God rather than man, So that's there's a balance there. But I'm telling you, we're to honor those who are in authority over us, even if we don't necessarily
agree.
Do everything or agree with everything that they say. And so I think one way, and this is just a personal thing that I see, sometimes Christians get involved in name-calling of presidents or name-calling of senators or... And I think we need to watch that because it's kind of a root of bitterness. Even though, oh, I'm just in jest, but, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it's part of guarding our heart with all diligence. Now, if we're around somebody and they're doing, I'm not telling you to correct people. I'm just telling you, watch what you say. See if you can, like you said, find a reason to be thankful for them. If they can do anything good. See if they're not as bad as you thought. And a lot of times other parties, we just think, oh, they're all bad. But, you know, we don't know what's going on in their hearts. Just because they may behave a certain way politically or with, laws or some type of, you know, program that they establish, we don't know what's going on in their heart.
And we don't know what God is doing in them.
We don't know what God's doing in them. We could help maybe by praising them or believing in God's work in them, allow God to do something that's going to be powerful. Right. One more verse. Oh, come on. There we go. This is one I want to leave you with.
1 John 2:17. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever.
I love that. So where do we abide? Do we just live forever? Abiding isn't just the fact that we live. The fact, I believe, that we abide in God. I think the will of God is a prerequisite for remaining in God. Now, this is saying forever, so it sounds like who's ever doing the will of God will be with the will of God, will be with God forever. But I believe that it's also a pattern that we can establish here when we're doing the will of God, we're renewing our mind, we're staying in the Lord. In other words, we're choosing not to go and run off and do our own thing, but staying in the Lord, remaining in Christ is the way the Lord puts it in the Word, that we abide in Him. You know, if you abide in me, and what? My words abide in you, you'll ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. So I believe it's going to help our prayer life. I believe it's going to help our relationships. How many know that when you're abiding in God, you're not as short, you're not as curt with people? You know, you have a little more patience, a little more kindness, a little more goodness, a little more self-control, a little more faithfulness. That's called the fruit of the Spirit I'm quoting there. A little more love, a little more peace, even a little more joy. People might even get some joy from you when you're abiding in Christ. And people need to see these characters. People need to see this nature. Because it's so contrary to the world right now. The world, I mean, if you look at Twitter, it's like, rah, rah, rah. I mean, everybody hates everybody, except unless you're on the same team. But I mean, it's not like there can just be somebody that voices a different opinion. No, that's like that person needs to be silenced or crucified or hung or whatever. And we need to have a different attitude. Right? We need to have the mind of Christ. I mean, could anyone see Jesus doing that? I mean, he said some hard things to the Pharisees, but then Pharisees, when they came to him with humility, he spoke very kindly to them and told them the truth. When he talked to their overall group, he did have some hard things to say. I'm not saying that Jesus, you know, was just, you know, a wallflower or a carpet that people just tread upon and he never had a rebuttal. But there needs to be a character that people see that helps bring change. We can preach all day long. I'm telling you, we can preach. We can tell them Jesus loves them. We can give them the gospel. And yes, some people will have their eyes open and they'll receive Christ. But others aren't going to get it that way for whatever reason. They need to hear it from our actions. Because they've heard it from people for so long that didn't have actions. Well, you're saying you're a Christian, but you're not. I have friends who live better than you, and you're telling me I need Jesus? I don't get that. I'm not following that path, that logic. That doesn't make sense to me. You want me to have something that treats people this way, and I already have friends who just are kind and gracious and compassionate, and they're not Christians. As Paul said, brethren, that should not be the case. This should not be what we're dealing with, but it is. I've said this before, but it's an indictment. I was talking to a contractor, and he basically had, you know, done a job recently for a church, and I can't remember how I communicated with him. Maybe I was just like being introduced by a friend or something. And I asked him, I said, so what kind of work do you do in the city? And he, you know, he said he was a contractor, and I said, oh, wow, okay, that's neat. And I said, who do you work for? And he said, you know, the businesses and stuff. And I said, oh, have you done any churches? He says, oh, I don't do churches. They don't pay me. Or if they do, they pay me half of the job, or they're always complaining about my work. And it's like, wow, that's not good to hear. But again, it's one of those things that's like an indictment, you know? So, and the world is passing away and the lust with it, but those, or he who does the will of God, abides forever. There's a promise for us. If we can get to the place where our heart says, Lord, I want to do your will, like Jesus did in Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but what? Your will be done. What a prayer to pray. Father, not my will, but your will be done in me, through my life. You're abiding with him. And if you continue to remain in that heart, you abide with him forever. Why? Because you're in his will. You're in his way. You're in his desire for your life. You have anything else? All right, Father, we thank you. Oh, does anyone have anything to share with that? I should ask first. Alex, come on up if you can. No, because people can't hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Was if you continue to not forgive, you know, Proverbs 26 is like a dog returning to its vomit.
Yeah.
That's what I think you were trying to get.
Yes.
So,
thank you.
That's good. Thanks, right. Alex. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for being brave and coming up. That way people can hear who's listening online. So.
Anybody else?
Anyone else? No one? Okay. Father, I am thankful, Lord, for every individual that's here. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're working in every heart and every life. I know that, Lord, because it says in your word that you're at work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. So, Lord, I know that you're working in every life. And, Father, right now, I just agree with your will for their life to be fulfilled. Lord, I pray if the enemy has tricked them or twisted your word or lied to them or caused hurt and pain to come into their lives, Lord, that's keeping them from receiving, Lord, your full will for their life, Lord. I just right now speak the life of God, the power of God to break it right now in Jesus' name. That every curse that's been spoken over them, every lie that's been spoken over them, we just speak death to that right now in Jesus' name. And we speak the light of God into their life. Lord, illuminate their hearts. Bring your light, Lord, to those dark areas, Lord, that the enemy's been inhabiting. And Lord, let your healing come. Let your glory come, Lord, into that life. Lord, I just release the will of God in this place. Lord, your prayer that you taught the disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, how will it be your name? How will it be your name? Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us, Lord, of our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, but Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done was the very first part. We want your kingdom to come in our lives. We want your will to be done in our lives. Lord, if those that are here right now don't even feel that, I pray that let your will be done in their lives. Let your kingdom come, because it will be the best for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we would have Eric up here with some more music, but we've had technical difficulties today. Yes, God bless you all. Love you. Have a great week. And for men, Friday night, we have, you. Friday night, we have another barbecue, so hopefully you can make it. Okay, bro? Yep, it's at Alex's. I'll get you the address. Oh, he's trying to think if he's got something on his plate. I know. David, see if David can make it. Love you guys. Have a great one.